Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Y'all know what time it is. We broadcast live from the Score Hyundai Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. It's time for us to head out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Joining us now is Mike Florio. He is the creator and the editor-in-chief of ProFootballTalk.com. Download the Circa app. Do it today. Mike, what's going on? Because it's that not dark period, but darker period on the NFL schedule where the mini camps are wrapping up and people are getting ready now for training camp, I guess, right?
It never completely slows down, though. It definitely isn't what it will be. And what it has been, there's always something, though. Every day there's going to be a development. Every day there's going to be something that comes out or something from some other sport, like the Lakers selling an evaluation of $10 billion and what that means for the NFL. So there's always going to be something every single day until training camps open, which is good because that's why we're here.
I love that you brought it up because that's what we were going to bring up. $10 billion for the Lakers. $10 billion. And it gets to this point where you're wondering, is business getting so big that there are only certain individuals, which was always the case, but now even companies that can manage such multi-billion dollar companies that these sports franchises have become? What does the $10 billion sale of the Lakers mean now for NFL franchises and their worth and value?
I think it sets the floor for any franchise that might be for sale in the future. Only the Seahawks are the team that we need to be watching because at some point, Jody Allen, the sister of the late Paul Allen, will be selling the Seahawks. There's no timetable that requires her to do it, but at some point she will. She put the Portland Trailblazers up for sale a few weeks ago, and now price goes up thanks to the sale of the Lakers. And that's what it means for the NFL. The prices are going to go up. And you touched on a good point. The NFL is very concerned about the reality that as these values go up and up, it's going to be harder to find one person who can show up with a bag of cash sufficient to buy a controlling interest in the team. Right now, I think it's 30% for an individual that they have to be able to buy that equity without borrowing. You got to be able to come up with 30% of the purchase price. So now you have to have, if a team goes for $10 billion and you're buying 100% of the equity, you got to show up with $3 billion in cash and have the rest of the deal structured and financed and partners and whatever. But the primary owner has to hold 30% of the equity. So it's going to be more difficult as these prices go up, but they're going to keep going up. I mean, could you imagine if the Cowboys were for sale, what the Cowboys would get? I think they could get $20 billion if they were for sale.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, man. $20 billion for the Cowboys? That and that's the most valuable of the NFL teams, right? So that would set the ceiling ish of what you get. What do you think the floor is, though? I'm more curious about the floor, Mike. Like if the lowest valued NFL teams, I'm not sure who that is, sold tomorrow, how much would the asking price be?
I was told 4 or 5 years ago that before too long, the average team will be worth $8 to $10 billion. And in 2022, the Broncos went for $4.65 billion, which almost doubled the prior record. In 2023, the Commanders went for $6.05 billion. Earlier this year, the 49ers sold a minority share of the team at a valuation of $8.6 billion. Now, that's a non-controlling minority stake. If you're buying control, the valuation is necessarily going to be higher. I think the baseline is now 10. I think there's not going to be, if any team was for sale right now, there's no way that the valuation is going to be less than 10. The question is, when is the next sale and how much higher will it be by the time the next team is for sale?
Will there be more teams that will be looking to sell based on the information that you're giving us here on estimations on what they would sell for?
Well, there's two important factors to remember. One, has the estate of the primary owner been properly managed in a way that allows the estate tax to be paid as you have an asset that keeps going up and up and up in value? Because it's not like if I have a $10 billion team, it doesn't mean I have $10 billion around. But I've got to pay estate taxes as if this team is worth $10 billion. Uh-huh. Where do I have that cash? What have I done to set this up by way of moving equity and doing other things that I have no idea how to do to ensure that the family can keep the team? So there could be an incentive to sell a team before the passing of an owner to avoid that problem. And I think there's also a possibility one of these owners is going to say, you know what? I'm out. I'm going to not double, not quadruple. I'm going to get an order of magnitude. I'm going to get 20 times more than my original investment. I'm out. You know, the only sale we've seen, really, there hasn't been a voluntary sale in a while since the Browns went to the Haslams. The Panthers sale was forced because Jerry Richardson got canceled by the NFL. The sale of the Broncos was the result of none of the heirs of Pat Bowlen satisfying the requirements to take over the team. That wasn't a voluntary sale. And obviously the Commanders sale was anything but voluntary. Dan Snyder got pushed out and he got a $6 billion bag of cash on his way out the door. So there could be an owner who just says, yeah, you know what? I'm good. Here, take my team. Give me my money.
It's interesting to watch this. The other portion of this, which makes it interesting, is that valuation that you're talking about as these teams explore private equity and whoever else getting that 10% share that they're allowed to max out to. How can that be an influx of cash to maybe all of these teams, especially, I don't know, teams looking to build a stadium such as the Chicago Bears?
Well, and I think this is one of the reasons why some teams are struggling to get political support in their current communities to build these stadiums. Because as the team values go up and up, is it unreasonable to say to the team, you pay for it, sell part of your team, sell part of your equity, take 10%, sell it, raise $2 billion or $1.5 billion, whatever it would be. If you sell 10% at $1 billion, that's a $10 billion valuation. You get $1 billion that goes toward building your stadium. So I think that the values do make it harder to get the deals done. Now, some deals are still getting done. In Cleveland, it looks like they're getting the money they need to build a new dome stadium. In Kansas City, the Chiefs are in a position where they can choose between Missouri and a renovated Arrowhead Stadium and Kansas and a new dome stadium. So it is still working, but I think it's getting harder and harder. And I think it's fair for communities to say to these teams, at a certain point, you're paying for this yourself.
Okay, Mike Florio joining us, the creator and editor of Pro Football, editor-in-chief, excuse me, of Pro Football Talk. Mike, looking at this period of time where there are still guys out there looking for jobs, is there anybody of note that you're intrigued by that a team should be interested in just as best talent available at this portion of the summer?
Well, the one player that intrigues me the most currently, and he's not a free agent, but Jalen Ramsey. It's been known for over 2 months now the Dolphins are looking to trade him. Initially, I thought they would deliberately wait until after June 1 to trade him because that results in a lower cap charge for 2025, and it pushes about $18 million into 2026. But here we are, June 19. There's been no Jalen Ramsey trade. And I just wonder, if the Dolphins have multiple teams interested. If you've just got one team interested, and I think the Rams are, they've talked openly about bringing him back. If you don't have other teams interested, you have no leverage if you made it clear you're trading the guy. Your best leverage, if there's only one other team involved, is to say, we're not trading him. No one believes that at this point. So are we going to end up in a position where, almost like what the Texans and Deshaun Watson had 4 years ago, they wanted to trade him. The Dolphins almost traded for him in early September. That didn't work out. They almost traded for him just before the trade deadline. That didn't work out. The Texans ended up paying him to not play for the entire season. I feel like the bridge is imploded between the Dolphins and Ramsey. They excused him from mandatory minicamp. I expect he won't be at training camp. I expect he won't be playing. I expect they're going to be paying him week in and week out until they trade him. And as of right now, 19 days into this ideal window to trade him, there's no indication that anyone is getting ready to. So that one is extremely fascinating to me, because last September they made him the highest paid player at his position. They owe him more than $20 million fully guaranteed this year, and they've decided that it's time to move on.
Yeah, meantime, Jaire Alexander lands in Baltimore. That just feels right, I think, to augment that defense. And Shedeur Sanders really showing off his speed, I suppose we could say. Mike, see, that whole thing with Shedeur Sanders going 100 miles per hour and getting the tickets falls to me in the category of last things you need, considering the sort of suspect character and everything that went on in the draft and what he's trying to do in Cleveland.
First thing I'll say is, let he or she who has never tested the gaskets at 100 miles per hour or more cast the first stone at Shedeur Sanders. But, and I struggle with this. Help me with this. Because I went through the same mental gymnastics you did. He's the last guy who should be doing this, because he supposedly got a wake-up call as it relates to what he needs to do to show that he's appropriately serious about life in the NFL. And driving a car 101 miles per hour in a 60-mile-per-hour zone would suggest you haven't learned your lesson. But is it really comparable? I don't know that it's really comparable. I'm not condoning it. And I always say, look, anytime anyone is going to, you know, satisfy the curiosity of what it feels like if you drive faster than 100 miles per hour, or really if you hit 88 miles per hour, do you travel back in time? But I just don't like, if it's a character flaw, there are plenty of people listening to this and watching this who are walking around with a character flaw, because I'd like to think that I'm only saying it's okay if you're in a safe environment, dry roads, no one else around. You know, I'm not the Rashee Rice weaving through traffic. That is reckless and dangerous, can get somebody killed. But anyway, my point is this. Can we really call it a character flaw? I don't think we can.
No, I'm with you, Mike.
How's it relevant to Shedeur Sanders? That's what I'm struggling with.
No, I'm completely with you, Mike, because who of us have not sped? Like, look, I drive like a little old lady now, but back then, I mean, I'm taking 15, 20, 30 miles per hour, depending on, like, as you said, what the conditions are now. I'm not trying to hydroplane out here, but if 100 miles per hour on an interstate that's 70, 75 miles per hour, that just sometimes it feels right. You got to pass people, whatever. I don't think it's a big deal at all, actually.
But we all know how it works. I mean, people are going to read it and they say, oh, there he goes again. The Sanders kid, he's out there speeding this guy. You know, it qualifies for some people as another opportunity to add to that as a list of character flaws. It's not. I totally agree with both of you guys are saying. It's just horrible timing and doesn't look good on the overall record.
And ultimately, here's the thing to remember. He didn't slip to pick number 144 because of character flaws. He did not take the pre-draft process seriously enough. And I tried to stay away from any reporting based upon unnamed sources about what his draft stock was before the draft, because I think there is a very real incentive that teams have acted on in the past to try to manipulate the game to get a guy they want, or to get a team to take a guy they don't want, therefore pushing down the board the guys they do want. That's very real in the NFL. But afterward, it's more of a post-mortem. Let's figure out why this happened. And from talking to a high-level evaluator with a team that was in the market for a quarterback, it was explained to me this way, and I think this is accurate. He acted as if he was being recruited, not interviewed. And unless you are supremely talented at a position other than quarterback, where commitment to your craft is a given no matter how good you are, Patrick Mahomes, most talented quarterback right now, he's committed to his craft as well. You can't just show up. The days of Brett Favre are over. We just show up and wing it on Sunday. So that's why he fell. This isn't because he got in trouble here or trouble there or he did this or he drove too fast or had a DUI. None of that. This is because he didn't take the process seriously enough because, look, you know, for his dad didn't have to take it seriously because he's Deion Sanders. You don't have to take it seriously when you're going to be a top pick no matter what. I think that was the big flaw, and he would have benefited from having an agent who could have explained it to him. Look, Shador, you've got to do everything they expect you to do. You've got to take this seriously. You've got to show them you're a serious person, or you will free fall like he did.
It's going to be hilarious when he's starting over Dylan Gabriel, who was taken several rounds earlier. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. We had Jun Lee on our show yesterday, Mike, talking about how sports has basically been ruined because, well, people are going to be greedy because that's what people do when they're trying to make money. And you can't watch sports like you want to watch sports. And I was interested in this Sunday ticket appeal that the NFL is now going with, that the broadcasters are signing with them. What can you tell us about where the NFL is on their Sunday ticket package and trying to figure this out?
Well, as you can hear, that issue strikes a raw nerve with my dog. I don't know if you can hear her.
As it should.
I was fascinated by the story that came out within the past 12 hours or so from Daniel Kaplan writing for awfulannouncing.com that most of the broadcast partners, with the exception of Amazon, came together to submit a legal brief supporting the NFL's position that it should be allowed to require the Sunday ticket provider to charge a premium fee so that the league can protect the over-the-air games in a given market. You know, 'cause the thinking is this. Okay, if I'm a Dolphins fan living in Chicago and I really want to watch the Dolphins games, but the only way I can watch the Dolphins games is to pay this exorbitant number for the total package for all season long, and I really don't care about any of these other games. I just want to watch the Dolphins games. You know what? I'll just watch the Bears game that's available on my local Fox affiliate. So they tried to set a price point that will get people to say, too rich for my blood, I'm watching the games on CBS and Fox. And that's the tension. You don't want to take away from the local free broadcasts, but you also don't want to scare away the most ardent fans who will pay that money. And the NFL gets to have it both ways. So the broadcast partners came together to support the NFL's position. I think the NFL's position is wrong. I think it is an antitrust violation. And this idea that, well, if we have to comply with the law, we'll make less money. Well, yeah. I mean, if American businesses could ignore the laws and do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, however they wanted, of course they'd make more money. The NFL has been operating in plain sight an antitrust violation for more than 30 years by requiring the Sunday ticket provider to charge an exorbitant price that gets people to say, no, thank you, I'll just watch the games on Fox and CBS. That's the problem. And that's why there was a verdict last year of $4.7 billion against the NFL. It didn't get thrown out because the judge decided that the NFL did nothing wrong. The judge decided that the damages formula that was put together by the plaintiffs wasn't good enough. So this thing is still out there, and the NFL could still end up with two things. Number one, a gigantic $14 billion verdict against it. That could happen. And number two, there could be a court order that the NFL must stop with Sunday Ticket in its current form and provide something to consumers, all of us, everyone listening, everyone watching, something more affordable that allows us to watch any game we want, not just the small handful that we get on our local Fox and CBS affiliates.
Can't wait to see how that turns out. I know you will keep us abreast of everything that is going on. Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. We appreciate you stopping by and joining us each and every week.
Thanks. Have a great day, everybody.
All right. So that's Mike Florio giving us the latest around the NFL as we go into a quieter time. A quieter time around the league.
It sounds to me like, by the way, what I got, one of the things I got out of the interview is that you, at one point in time, were constantly going 100 miles per hour. I just saw the way the stance that you took there was like, yeah, I did that all the time.
Mississippi roads, man.
Oh,
you haven't driven until you've been on the Natchez Trace. Get the straightaways.
Oh man, the back roads.
Yeah, we're just like, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? We're trying to get from point A to point B as quickly as possible.
What are we waiting for?
And if
for?
You want to get from point A to the Windy City Smokeout, you should just listen all week for your chance to win a pair of general admission tickets to Windy City Smokeout. That's Saturday, July 12th. Performances: Kane Brown, Megan Maroney, and a whole lot more. For tickets, visit WindyCitySmokeout.com. But we'll be giving away some tickets later on in this abbreviated program as we lead you into Cubs baseball and the pregame show with Zach Zabeman. But coming up next, we continue talking about baseball, specifically Shota Imanaga is on the mend. He will be back soon. What should happen when he rejoins the Cubs rotation at the top of said rotation? Mark Grody and I will discuss as Raheemian Harris continues right here on 670.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Score.
Raheemy and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
And he hits a ground ball right side, fielded by Bush. Go to second. There's one over to first. It's going to be not in time. Is Shota okay? He's holding the back of his left leg. Safe the call at first. Shota might have pulled a muscle of some kind. I don't want to speculate, but he's...
Yeah.
Obviously not 100% right now.
This could be a problem.
We were hoping it was just another set of cramps in his leg. It was not. Shota Imanaga, as described by Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer on the broadcast. You can hear them later today, by the way. They're coming up shortly after Zach Zabeman has the pregame show starting at 12:45. Cubs baseball right here on 670 The Score. In the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. But Shota should be back soon. Scheduled to pitch later this week. And the week is getting shorter, so soon. And then maybe back, maybe one more start in rehab. And then maybe he's back in the Cubs rotation after his next rehab start. These are all possibilities as we return with more Raheemian Harris, Mark Grody in for Layla here on 670 The Score. Mark, Shota has been good. He has been excellent. But they've been making do without him.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we have to give credit for all the guys who have been able to come up and do big things, whether they started in a bullpen role, whether they started in AAA. Because if you take Shota and Justin Steele off the board, you have guys like Colin Ray, Cade Horton, and Ben Brown who have been getting it done. And we started this season thinking Ben Brown might not be long for the bigs, but he's still here. Cade Horton, will he be called up? Called up, successful, And then, of course, Colin Ray went from the swingman to the guy who can give you a start every fifth day. And you have to be happy with that. But the question now begs, what happens when Shota comes back? And for me, it's a simple thing. You take Ben Brown, you send him down to AAA. Mm. You keep him stretched out. Because Porter Hodge should also be coming back sometime in this time period. So you're already probably getting rid of a guy like maybe Brazier. I don't know who they will
get. Yeah, who's the odd man out?
Who's the odd man out?
Yeah.
But they have enough great bullpen arms that you just want to bring Porter Hodge back into the fold, let him do his thing. And there probably will be an injury of some kind to a starting pitcher at some point, or you'll need a guy for a doubleheader. Keep Ben Brown stretched out. And why do I say do that? Because I look at where they are right now, and if you want to move Ben Brown down to AAA and have him in shorter roles, three innings, four innings, so he can be the long man if you need one, or come back and make a spot start, that's fine. But Ben Brown and Cade Horton, they're not going to be starting games at the end of the season. You know how I know that? Because I can look at the fact that Ben Brown's 25 years old and he's never pitched more than 104 innings in a season. I can look at the fact that Cade Horton has never pitched more than 88 and a third innings in a season. They're guys who are going to give you bullpen brunt force in the playoffs, a la the Los Angeles Dodgers last year, if you get that far and are doing big things in the postseason. That's my stance on it. How do you feel about what should happen when Shota and Managa comes back?
I think it's pretty well thought out, like the idea of keeping Ben Brown stretched out. But I got to tell you, I'm more tempted to put Ben Brown in the bullpen. I know things are great right now in the Cubs bullpen, but it's not. I don't look at the return of Porter Hodge and say, well, Hodge is back, the bullpen is whole, they're going to continue to blast off. Put another guy who is, you know, we know Ben Brown is perfect for bullpen, considering the pitch repertoire, considering the fact that he could rack up strikeouts in a hurry. He's had bad starts where he had 8 to 10 strikeouts and 1 or 2 walks throughout the game. So I just think for me, it's too tempting to keep that live of an arm at the big league level in a season in which you are going to the postseason.
Who's out then in the bullpen?
I need to hear the full list of,
okay,
of guys. Give me the full list and I'll tell you.
I'll give you the options.
Yeah.
We've got Daniel Palencia.
Is he staying?
Yeah. Is he staying?
Okay. Yeah.
I was curious.
I'll just say this. I'll say, if I'm confident they're going to stay, like somebody like that, yeah, it's going to stay, or are they expendable?
Okay. We also have Caleb Philbar, who we just discussed.
He's been really damn good, so I'm not ready to release him in any way, shape, or form.
Who did I just say before that?
Caleb Palencia. Philbar. Oh, Palencia, right. Palencia, obviously.
Okay, Palencia, Philbar.
Is sticking around.
Philbar. We've got Yenesis Cabrera.
Expendable.
Okay, so he's
expendable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris Flexen.
I think I want him around still. He's been really good. He's been very valuable.
Brad Keller.
I mean, expendable, probably.
Drew Pomerantz.
Really love what he's doing. Is that magic going to wear out, though? Like, these are things you got to look at.
Well,
like,
Ryan Pressly.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Okay.
So I got a couple guys that are expendable right there.
So the guys are Cabrera and Keller, is that?
Yeah,
am I
that,
this?
That are expendable.
Not and Ryan Brazier.
Oh, Ryan Brazier. Yeah, you never mentioned Ryan Brazier. I
said him off the top when I was talking about my stuff.
Oh, my bad.
Okay, my bad. Okay,
you're bad. Yeah, you're.
So
bad.
Who's at the bottom of that? Who's the first guy gone?
I think probably Ryan Brazier.
Okay, Brazier's the first guy gone.
Imanaga
comes back. Ben Brown to the bullpen. Ryan Brazier gone. All right, Porter Hodge is now ready. Who's the next guy gone? Or are you just keeping Porter Hodge in AAA? That's also an option.
I mean, like, you can't figure out a way to keep him on the roster at the same time as Ben Brown.
No, I mean, what I'm saying is, if you move Imanaga into the starting rotation,
yeah,
someone has to be out of the rotation either in the bullpen or in AAA. You told me Ryan Brazier was the first guy.
Yes.
He's gone.
Right.
I'm asking,
who is my other expendable guy?
You said Yenesis Cabrera.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, he's a lefty, Yenesis, though. That doesn't matter to you?
No.
Okay. All right.
I think the Cubs are better.
Philbar and Pomerantz.
Okay, then, I mean, Those are two pretty good lefties.
Yeah, they are. Do you want a third,
on your team?
I guess that's the question.
I mean, like I said, I think that Cabrera is expendable. I think that Ben Brown is a better major league pitcher than Hennessy's Cabrera. Do you or no?
Yeah,
I think that. So that's my answer. That he is more expendable than Ben Brown.
Next question. You need a pitcher. A pitcher gets hurt. What do you do next? Are you just doing bullpen days? Or are you just going to...
Like, who's next?
Chris Flexen's going to start that game then?
Flex. Yeah, that's a good question. I guess Chris Flexen...
He's your swing guy.
Well, I don't know what the update is on Assad right now.
There is no update on Assad.
We're always months off on Assad. And Jordan Wicks, is there any update? Like, does Wicks get another look? Are they fixing Wicks?
Listen to Jed Hoyer here. When he's asked about seeing when Shota Imanaga will return from injury.
What's the latest on Shota?
He's going to pitch later this week for Iowa, and then we'll sort of reevaluate. But he's made two rehab starts for in Arizona. He threw four innings on the 14th. I think he threw 44 pitches and then threw a bunch in the bullpen. So, he's on track. And like I said, he'll pitch for Iowa later this week, and then we'll kind of reevaluate. You know, we haven't rushed him. We want to make sure we get him right and get him healthy. And I'm excited to get him back. I think not only is he really good, but he also provides innings that are super valuable. And, you know, in today's game, when you can get six or seven innings out of your starter, it helps rest your bullpen.
Okay, so that all makes sense, right? But I want you to hear Jed Hoyer again, this time talking about the starting rotation specifically and if they'll add more to that.
I think they're separate things. Like, I'm super proud of the way this rotation has pitched. I mean, I think our two highest projected pitchers. You know, one's been out for the year, the other's been out since really like around May 4th, and they've responded really well. You know, Talion's been terrific, and Boyd's been terrific, and you know, Cade has come up and pitched well, and you know, I think you know Ben's had been a little bit up and down, and Colin has been really steady, and I give those guys so much credit for that, but. All that said, I just think that, you know, the way the game is played now, you've got to just continue to add pitching when you can. So, yeah, there's a reason that all these teams are saying they need pitching is because I think everyone has the sense that you can't have enough depth. And also the rules have changed, right, where you can't make the waiver deals you used to be able to make in August. And so you're a little bit more shut once the deadline passes on July 31st, and that's your – like those are your pitchers. You can't go out in the same way you used to be able to do that in August and find somebody. So, you have to acquire as much depth as you can. And I think we'll be certainly looking for that.
Cubs president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer, talking to Spiegel Holmes on Tuesday. And he's pretty definitive about what they need to do. And they need to do it sooner rather than later because technically you can't do it too late. So the deadline is your last chance, if you will. Now, here's how I want to present this. Imanaga comes back. And the starting rotation is Imanaga,
uh-huh.
Tyone,
yes.
Boyd,
yes.
Ray,
yes.
Horton.
Yes.
That's what it is right now.
Yes.
After he goes out and gets his someone Imanaga level or higher, everyone goes down a spot. So now, in my opinion, it's going to be Ray or Horton that's out. And when that happens, Horton, with the lack of innings pitched, remember, he's never pitched more than 80 and a third.
Gotta be careful.
It makes more sense to have Horton and Ben Brown as part of your bullpen / swing guy at that point. And when you're talking about the playoff rotation, I know it's way too early to be talking about playoff rotation. You only use four pitchers, though, in a playoff rotation. And so that's Ace, Imanaga, Tyone, Boyd, as it stands right now. But you've got some super velocity, filthy stuff guys in Ben Brown and Cade Horton leading that bullpen now.
Yeah, couple things here. A couple texters pointing things out correctly. We don't have to designate this just to what are you doing with the bullpen for your prior questions. Because as somebody put, you can DFA Turner. Somebody even mentioned DFAing Birdie. It's not like you just have to figure out the math with the bullpen. And I will actually...
We're losing bats?
I will agree with that's a good question. What more important at this point, John Birdie being on your roster, Justin Turner being on your roster, or Ben Brown being available out of the Cubs bullpen in some way, shape, or form? Extra bullpen arm, extra bat. two bats right there, by the way, which have not been heavy contributors.
I would argue they need a better right-handed bat, and that's just on period. Like, they need a better right-handed bat. They've needed a better right-hand bat off the bench, period, this entire time. When they go up against these lefty aces, is what we're calling them.
But are we going to be talking about the bullpen the way we are right now in a month from now, even 3 weeks from now? I just feel like the bullpen is bullpens everywhere are breakable, very breakable. So that's why I tend towards the idea of sending Ben Brown down. And I will say to the people who are like pushing back on Keller being expendable, I'll give you that.
He's
been absolutely terrific. But it's difficult to find guys when you say, okay, match this guy up against this guy. I have a real hard time sending Ben Brown down at this point.
Keller, by the way, a 2.10 ERA in 32 games.
It's crazy.
He leads the Cubs in appearances, by the way, and he's given up 25 hits, no home runs. He struck out 33 while walking 10. Now, Keller's not going anywhere. Brad Keller's not going anywhere.
Right, but absolutely. But just keep on adding to that. We've seen it too many times.
No, you're right.
Guys either get injured or they do what bullpen guys do. They go through horrible slumps and sometimes completely and totally fade away.
It's going to come down to who has options left and what buttons Jed Hoyer wants to push. But that's why he gets paid all the big money and maybe even more big money when that extension comes through. We'll keep an eye on that.
But
right now it's going to be time for halftime. Look. I don't know how much y'all use emojis in your day-to-day talk with your friends, but there is an emoji that is coming under fire by a certain group of individuals. I want us to go around this room, discuss it, and try not to be old men yelling at clouds. That's the goal for the next segment on halftime. It's more Raheem and Harris, Mark Grody in on 670 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
You know what? Usually when you hear this music, it means the show is about halfway over, but you know, we got Cubs baseball coming up.
Hurry up.
So it's more like the end of the third quarter right now.
Three quarters time.
Yeah, three quarters time. So far on the show, we have discussed the Cubs and our disappointment that they did not play baseball last night. The fact that Jacob Mizorowski will not be on the mound. Instead, he'll be their ace of the Brewers, the veteran, Freddie Peralta, going up against Jameson Taillon. Makes for a spicy matchup all the same.
It's on.
Here in the matinee, as the Cubs go for what we can now call a two-game sweep of the Brew Crew. We talked Seiya Suzuki and his renewed and new approach at the plate. Why the pop is all of a sudden popping, he explained in his own words through a translator. We also talked about the bullpen and what Jed Hoyer had to say about arms and arms and more arms. Also, we talked with Mike Florio. He likes football. We like football. So we discussed franchises being worth, I don't know, $20 billion.
My God.
If you're the Dallas Cowboys.
That's what he estimated.
We talked about what should the Cubs do when Shota Imanaga gets re-injected into the starting rotation. That's how we got to this point right here.
It's halftime.
All right, let's go. It's halftime. Here we go. There has been a wave of complaints from a certain group of individuals about emoji usage. The thumbs up emoji is now a villainous type deal. Apparently, people have a problem with thumbs up, calling it passive aggressive. That group would be Gen Z. And I had to write this down because that's how far away I am from Gen Z. If you are between the ages of 13 and 28,
I mean,
you do not like the thumbs up emoji. Now, there's different reasons for this, but one has been exhibited by users online on different social media platforms talking about it feels dismissive. It also feels like a person who wants a more genuine connection in talking with someone is only getting a thumbs up. That's all they get is a thumbs up. They want more. They want more than just the thumbs up. And to that I say, okay, well, it's really simple. If you feel that strongly about it, have a conversation with the person.
There you go.
Who may not know that this is what it implies to you. The miscommunication here in 2025 is at an all-time high because of texting. Before we even get to emojis, just because of texting. Because you could text someone something and they don't know how it's being implied in your voice, and they just assume it's the worst possible version of that.
Well said.
I'm sitting here across from you in studio.
Yes.
Our conversation is different than it would be if we were on FaceTime. That takes it down a level because I can't read. I can read your face, but I can't read everything that's going on. If we're just on the phone, no FaceTime, that takes it down another level because now I have no visual cues about what you're saying. But I can still hear you, so I can get intonation. But if you take it off of that and just go to texting, now you're just reading my words. How are you reading my words? I believe Key and Peele had a great skit on this at one point about how things were being read versus how they were being actually typed when they were saying stuff back and forth. And it got really, really contentious. The quickest way to cut off the contention is follow Marshall's rule number one when it comes to communication.
Rule number one, folks.
Rule number one.
Here it comes.
It's really the only rule I have.
Number one.
Marshall?
If it's an important conversation, don't text about it. Pick up the phone and call somebody.
There you go.
Now, I'm going to turn the floor over to our youngest member first. Robbie, how old are you?
I am 29, and I was born late 1995, so I'm kind of in that cusp of millennial Gen Z.
You are what they would call a zillennial. You are in the crossfires. Do you get upset about the thumbs up emoji?
I don't get upset when someone likes the or thumbs up like a text that I send, but I am going to be the person if someone sends me a thumb up emoji, I wish they kind of handled that a little bit better. I take that as a little passive aggressive. To
so wait.
It's like, okay.
So the thumbs up on the text itself, like if I send you a message and you thumbs up it by putting the thumbs up on the, like holding it down and using the thumbs up emoji, that's okay. But if I just give you a straight up thumbs up by itself in response, that's when you draw the line, where you draw the line.
Yeah, like if I ask you like, hey, is it okay if we meet at this time and you send that, I'm like, okay, well, I want a better response. Like I want you to be like, yes, that sounds great. Or like, okay, that works for me. But if you send this little thumbs up emoji, like I hate that. Like I can't read like what you said over the text. I can't read what you are actually meaning by that.
I thought that thumbs up was just a simple affirmation. When did it become so much more? Ray, your thoughts?
My thoughts are,
You know, I try to take people's feelings into consideration. High consideration. However, when I heard you bring this topic up, Marshall, my reaction was, are you kidding me? Are you serious? The thumbs up, here's the thing with the thumbs up. The thumbs up is the easiest way to communicate to somebody, particularly when you are a little tied up and you might be a little busy. Yes. And you might have many things on your mind. To the person receiving that thumbs up clearly isn't thinking about that because they're getting caught up in their own feelings. Look,
I am.
You are, Robbie. You're being a little extra sensitive on this.
Very insecure.
Some would call you soft. Some would call you soft.
I see, and look at how I'm considering Robbie's feelings and not calling him soft.
I'm not calling him soft. I said some people would call you soft.
Now we all know we have to pacify Robbie when he has an idea. Oh, that's a good idea, yes. Robbie. Thank you.
Well, yeah. I just think it's the most ridiculous
very good,
thing.
Robbie. Pat on the head.
That I've heard, quite frankly, well, in a minute.
It's interesting.
That the thumbs up emoji has so much backlash and it makes people get in their feelings so much. It's a thumbs up. Start to think about what other people are doing in their lives and maybe take that into consideration. I could only speak for myself. I give thumbs up emojis when I'm tied up and busy and I'm acknowledging you. I'm just trying to acknowledge you. That's okay. What I'm doing.
That's common. You're common courtesy. The thumbs up is common,
Robbie,
courtesy.
I have to ask you about, really, you feel some type of way about the response, okay.
If you send a okay, like not okay, okay, I think that's a definition of passive aggressive.
Someone on the text line just sent this, 847. You want to talk about dismissive and disrespectful? My friend's teenage son responds to text questions and comments and conversations with a single capital letter. K.
That's basically a middle finger. It's like using the capital K.
This is wild. Now look like if you're asking, it depends on, now this is all goes back to context. If you're asking an in-depth, serious question and you just get a K in response, that's different.
Okay, so.
But if we're talking about like, hey, you want to, like your example, Robbie, hey, let's meet for a drink at this time, at this place, and I get a K, I'm cool with that. That's casual to me.
Because you're just confirming. It's an affirmation.
It's an affirmation.
So 815 here. I think thumbs up is cool when it's to a simple question, but when it's used in someone's feelings, when it's taken negatively, especially when you do it immediately after someone sends a long-winded message.
Okay.
It can't be like the big block
context.
Paragraph, and then you just give a thumbs up.
I get
up.
It. Exactly. What is it about, too? Yeah, absolutely. If you're pouring out your heart and soul into a message and you get a thumbs up emoji in response, okay, there I can understand.
Okay, I think I might have some trauma there because I think I have once sent a really like nice message to a person, like thank you so much. It was like someone that was considered a mentor to me, like thank you so much. I appreciate everything you've done to me. Thumbs up emoji. Like that's nothing. I'm pouring my
on
heart
on the message
out to you.
Or below the message.
Below the message. Give me the yellow hand thumbs
okay,
emoji.
Okay, so my answer to that, I wouldn't do that. I'd just say no problem anytime. It's that simple. No problem anytime.
Yeah,
that
context matters here. And I think when it comes to really pouring your feelings into a message and only getting that as a response, okay, that I get. But if we're just talking about daily things, get out of here.
What about TYSM?
I'm fine with that.
That's fine. Nobody has problems with acronyms. 630 before we get out of here. My wife and I are 29. If I send a K, tension builds.
Oh, 100%. I'm saying the K is a middle finger. That is what
I disagree. Okay. It's all about the context.
Listen, that's why you have to actually just have conversations about these things. But unfortunately, we have run out of time to have conversation about this one thing. We're going to take a break. When we come back, 5 on it. You know the deal. 5 questions, more than 5 answers. We'll give it to you, Rahimi and Harris. Layla, she has Juneteenth off. Happy Juneteenth, by the way. Mark Grody in on 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.